I'm just absolutely sure of it. Before we open the Word, I want to remind you to look in your bulletins. There's several things going on. After second service today, just about 12:30, we have a baptism. If you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ and you haven't yet obeyed the ordinance of baptism, Jesus telling us to be baptized, and you haven't done that yet, today's a good day to do it. If you would like to be baptized after second service, please come and talk to me. If your kids have been talking about getting baptized, please have them talk to the children's pastor, Pastor Greg, after service today. And then we'll get you baptized after second service. Come back with a change of clothes and a towel. Also, you'll notice some things going on today. In addition to the baptism, today at 3 o'clock, we have a prayer walk. That will be at our land at the corner of Ridge and Riding Club. You can go in, walk into the new administrative offices, and look at how far those have progressed. Went in there about, I think it was about 10:30 last night, and just neat to see it all coming together. And if you get a chance to prayer walk and just make sure that you enjoy the fellowship there with the saints and, praying for not only for your needs in your life, but the church together as a ministry, the church needs and the ministries that are going on. Also, some of the ministries that are going on, we decided that there are so many things going on that we would put everything together into a nice handy little thing that you can take home and put on your fridge and decide, hey, it's Wednesday, what do I want to do? It's Thursday night and I'm hungry for fellowship, what should I do? It's Tuesday at 6 o'clock and I really want to enjoy some fellowship, where should I go? Well, all of these things will take you through this. Notice there's some new studies starting up, some home Bible studies in Philippians and Romans. There's the discussions of doctrine fellowship that keeps going on. Lots of things, dessert fellowships and couples fellowships and breakfasts and all those kind of neat things. So you'll want to keep up on those things. Ladies, exclusively for the ladies, today is the last day to sign up for the ladies' retreat. And so if you have not yet done that, then please fill out that thing and drop it in the box that's out in the foyer on the whatever that table is with all the papers on it. There's a nice, pretty decorated pink box out there that you can drop that in. If you've been hesitating, saying, oh man, you know, $20, $35, that's a stretch for our budget, don't worry about it. Just check the box that mentions the finances in there and we'll take care of it. We'll scholarship you. We'll pay for the whole thing. We just want you to go and to be blessed. And it's not very often that people offer you a free night at the Holiday Inn for nothing. So guys, no dressing up just for a free night in a hotel. Only women. And make sure you fill that out and enjoy that fellowship and the teaching. Janine, who's coming out to teach the ladies on Saturday, is a blessing, a longtime friend, and someone who just has years and years of walking with the Lord and studying the Word. And I know she's got all kinds of great stuff to share with the ladies. So make sure to do that today. Don't forget, we need to get that in today. Well, let's open up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. As we have looked extensively at this chapter, I know we have because the page in my Bible is almost worn out and it's half out now. So it's important that we don't spend too many more weeks in Hebrews 11. Otherwise, I'm going to be having to do it from memory. I won't have a page left. But as we've looked at this extensive list of people who found favor in God's sight by faith, not by their works, not by their religion, but by their faith. We have seen faith exhibited in various ways, and it's certainly given us instruction in our lives and in our walk with the Lord. And this morning, we're going to be looking actually at four examples of faith. Instead of focusing in just on one guy that gets mentioned, we're going to look at the next four sets of people who are mentioned because they all tie together. They tie in together. There's Isaac, and there's Jacob, and there's Joseph, and there's the parents of Moses. And you would think, what in the world would Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the parents of Moses all have in common together? How do they all fit into the same category? Well, the answer, I'll give it the answer to you in advance, just so you know, They are people who blessed their family members by faith. People who blessed their family members by faith. They spoke blessing. They acted in blessing. We're going to learn about blessings today. And I want to let you know that there are some things that I don't really understand in the whole kingdom of God. Yes, I know that's hard to believe, that I don't have all knowledge. But I'll tell you what, as I go through the scriptures, there's two things that I don't understand, but I take them by faith, and I hope you will as well. The first thing is in regards to prayer. Now, I know that God has commanded us to pray, and He has said, spend time with me, pray. As the Bible says, pray without ceasing. We're called to pray. And yet, we know that God is sovereign. God has His plan all worked out. And often I ask myself, why do I pray? I mean, I know I pray to align my will with God's will, but why do I pray? Why am I called to pray? It seems like God won't do certain things unless I pray. And yet, God's doing everything according to His plan, so it must be in His plan that I pray. And if I don't pray, it must not be in His plan. You know, it just kind of blows my mind to think about how I'm called to pray to somehow move the hand of God, and yet God is sovereign and does what His will is. I don't understand that completely. And if you think you understand it, you haven't thought it through enough. Well, there's another thing that's very much in line with that, and it's what we're studying today. It's in regard to blessings. Now, I'm not talking about blessings when you go to the gas station, buy a lottery ticket, you scratch it off. Hey, I'm a winner. Hopefully that's not what you're doing. But, you know, and you say, oh, what a blessing. I'm not talking about blessings that necessarily God rains down blessings on you. I'm talking about a spoken blessing when someone says, the Lord be with you. The Lord bless you. And somehow, in the kingdom of God, that spoken word has power to move the hand of God. That just blows my mind into a million pieces. To think that when I speak a blessing to you, when I speak a blessing to my children, when you speak a blessing to me, or you speak a blessing to someone else, that blessing has power in its words, and God follows through with that blessing that you speak. I don't understand it. I see it in the scriptures. I know that it works. Somehow it works. God wants us to bless other people, to give spoken blessing to other people. Don't ask me how it works. Don't ask me why God has arranged it this way, but I know He has. And I think it's something that in the church in general, we have neglected to speak blessing to people. Now, I noticed this big gap about 2 weeks ago at my grandfather's funeral. As many of you know, I had to fly out to San Diego to be a pallbearer at my grandfather's funeral. Now, he was a very devout Catholic man, and so the funeral was a very, very ceremonial Catholic Church kind of thing. I didn't grow up in the Catholic Church, but I noticed a couple of things that they have held on to by tradition that I think we have lost, that were maybe, and you say, oh, man, I'm out of here. There was an interesting thing that I saw. When the priest would say certain things, the congregation would respond. When he spoke blessing to them, they would speak blessing back to him. Now, how many of you grew up in Catholic Church? I'm guessing about a third of you. Okay, about a fourth of you. Now, when the priest would say, the Lord be with you, what do you respond? And also with you. You know what? Those are spoken blessings, and they have power. Now, I'm not talking about just religiously, ceremonially, me always saying, the Lord be with you. Although I like that. And if you mean it, I receive that blessing. You see, I think we're missing out on the power of the spoken blessing. So let's open up the Word, look at these four different stories that are referred to, and see the power of the spoken blessing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. Now remember, the author of Hebrews is writing to Hebrews. He's writing to people that have grown up in the scriptures. They had much of the Torah memorized. The books of Moses, the book of Genesis as written by Moses, they knew this thing inside and out. As the author of Hebrews makes reference to one single sentence, saying, you remember by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau even regarding things to come, it all ran through in their head and they thought, yes, of course, we know that whole story. But maybe some of us don't. So I want to refresh our memories. If you would go back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, down to chapter 27. And as you're turning there, I would remind you that Isaac, we talked about Isaac, I think it was just last week, when Abraham offered his son Isaac up as a burnt offering up there on Mount Moriah. We saw that in Genesis 22. Well, Isaac did survive that because God provided himself the lamb. And Isaac came down the mountain with Abraham. Isaac ended up getting married to a wonderful woman named Rebekah. Now, Rebekah was barren. It means that she was infertile. She couldn't have children. And so Isaac continually prayed to the Lord, said, Lord, you know, you've made these promises to my dad and then through me that we're going to have all these descendants. And yet my wife is barren. Lord, would you bless us with children? Lord, bless us with children. And God was pleased to answer that prayer. And his wife, Rebekah, suddenly was with child. Actually, she was with childs. She was with children. You see, she had twins in her womb. Now, ladies, I know that a big thing when you're pregnant is, oh, the baby kicked. You know, I can hear the baby, you know, moving around and I can feel the baby. Well, Rebekah got to a point in her pregnancy where she wished she didn't feel that, because the two kids in her, it seemed like they were in the WWF, you know, they were wrestling back and forth and boom, 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 you know, kind of thing. They were contending all the time, struggling for position in there. And so when they prayed about that, say, Lord, what's the deal with this? God answered them and said this. Now, this is back in chapter 25, but I have you in chapter 27. In chapter 25, verse 23, God said, two peoples shall be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. What God was saying is there's two twins inside of you. There's two children, and they're going to become two different people. Now, we know from history that they would become the Jews and the Edomites, the descendants of Jacob and the descendants of Esau, who became known as Edom, who then his descendants became known as the Edomites. So she had the forefathers of the Jews and the Edomites inside of them, people who would be contending with one another. And here it was, they weren't even born yet, and they were contending with one another. But notice what he said. Although in that culture, and even in many cultures today, the oldest son received the double blessing, received the real inheritance, became the patriarch or the head of the family, God switched things around. Even before the children were born, God said, the older shall serve the younger. Rebekah heard that. Her husband Isaac heard that. The older shall serve the younger. They were born. Esau came out first. He was all red and hairy. Second one came out grabbing on to his heel. Jacob, they called him heel snatcher because he was a heel snatcher. They called him Jacob. Jacob was the younger one. And God had said the older will serve the younger. In other words, the younger was going to be placed in a higher position. The problem was, as the guys grew up, as they got to be teenagers, something was noticed about the two. It turned out that they weren't identical twins, but fraternal twins. They were born out of the same womb at the same time, but they didn't look the same. They looked very different, as a matter of fact. Esau, the older one, big bear of a man, redhead, hairy all over, macho guy. You can think of me if you want. Big macho guy. And he was into hunting and all kinds of outdoorsy kind of stuff. He was a macho man. Again, I refer you to me. And he was a man of the field. But the younger guy, Jacob, he had smooth skin. couldn't grow a beard to save his life. And, you know, he didn't really like being outside. Maybe it was he didn't want to get wrinkles or leathery skin or something, but he preferred to stay in the tent. He was a homebody. Now, his favorite pastime was not hunting. His favorite pastime was cooking. And so if you can picture Isaac, a manly man himself, looking at his two sons, they're the same age, Esau, a couple minutes or a couple seconds older. Do you think he might have played favorites? Do you think he might have looked at his macho man son Esau, now there's a man, and then looked at his other son Jacob? Oh, Lord, he's a cook, you know, he can't grow a beard. He doesn't like to go outside. He hasn't let me teach him how to catch a ball or use the bat. And the Bible tells us that Esau did play favorites, as a matter of fact. Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Dad liked the rough and tumble guy. Mom liked the kid who stayed home and cooked, you know, and kept her from having to, I guess. Mom, can I cook dinner? Well, if you insist, you know. Now, it came about at the time when Isaac was near death. It was time to pass on the blessing to his sons, and this was traditional, that before you died, you passed on blessings to your children. You would lay hands on them and speak blessing to them. Again, I refer you to the concept of blessing, speaking blessing to people, specifically your children. Well, it came time for Isaac to speak blessings. Now, he knew that God had said the older will serve the younger. But he couldn't fathom that. He couldn't imagine that. Oh, come on. This is a peaceful man living in tents with no beard. I'm going to bless my oldest. That's the tradition. That's the way. And so we see, if you're in Genesis 27 now, we see in Genesis 27, it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see. He was so old now he had gone blind that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And Esau said, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I'm old and I don't know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt game for me and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat so that my soul may bless you before I die." See, Isaac was being carnal at this point. Isaac was not following the Lord. Isaac was following after his flesh. Number one, he said, "Son, I'm going to bless you. Not Jacob. I'm going to give you the blessing of the firstborn as you rightly deserve. But before I do that, boy, I sure could go for some of that venison that you're so good at shooting. So go down, hunt down a deer, get some game, cook it up, bring it to me, and I'll bless you." So Esau thought, "Well, this is great." And so he took his quiver and his bow and he went out hunting. But meanwhile, Rebekah had been listening at the door. Rebecca had been listening and she heard Isaac say to Esau, "I'm going to bless you." "Well, this is no good. This is outside of the will of God. And besides, Jacob's my favorite." So she said, "Jacob, Jacob, come here. There's really bad news that even though God has said this and even though Esau sold his birthright to you," if you remember that happened in between Genesis 25 and 27 as well, Esau had actually sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. "This can't happen. We need to figure something out." "I know," Rebekah said. She was not only a wonderful woman, but a very crafty woman. "We'll just, since your dad's blind, we'll just dress you up. We'll put you in some of this goat skin, and then you'll seem to be all hairy. And we'll put some of Esau's clothes on you, because, you know, he doesn't bathe much. He's a man of the field, you know. And we'll put some of his clothes on you, and then you'll smell like him, too. And so prepare up this game." He prepared up a stew. He put this hairy garments on on the backs of his arms and hands and on his neck and put on Esau's smelly hunting clothes and went in and said,
"Here you go, Dad."
And Isaac said, "Esau?"
"Yeah, it's me."
"Boy, the voice is the voice of my son Jacob, but the smell is the smell of my son Esau. Come here, let me feel you, see if you're hairy or not.
Okay, Dad.
He reached down, felt that furry fur, that hair that had been put on Esau on his arms and neck, and said, okay, well, great. And so there in chapter 27 in Genesis and verse 28 of that chapter, Isaac was tricked into giving the blessing to Jacob, as God had desired all along. But now Isaac spoke this blessing. He said, now may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. A spoken blessing, words of power, words of the promise of a great future. May you be blessed financially. May you be blessed abundantly. May you be risen up above your brothers, and may they serve you. He spoke that blessing, and it was received. Now, afterwards, Isaac found out that he had blessed the son that God had chosen instead of the son that he wanted. And he trembled exceedingly. He realized he'd been tricked, but it wasn't just that. It was a fear of God, because Isaac, in spite of his own carnality, was also a man of faith. And he realized, I couldn't put one over on God. God's will was accomplished. He said before my children were born that the older would serve the younger. And even though I tried to circumvent that, there it is. There you have it. God's will was accomplished. Jacob was blessed. That spoken blessing. And the first thing I want you to notice about blessings, about spoken blessings and their power, is that God has his will. And those blessings must be spoken in accordance with God's will. You cannot go around it. No matter how much you desire one thing to go this way, another thing to go that way, God's will has to be accomplished. God is the one who has control over our destinies. Remember what the proverb says, Proverbs 16, verse 9, for you note takers. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You can say, today or tomorrow, I'm going to go into this city or that city and make this much money. But James said, who are you? You don't know what tomorrow holds. Instead, you should say, if it's God's will. And so we need to understand that we must speak blessings in accordance with God's will, with God's plan, according to God's revealed plan. Now we can speak blessings to our first or second born son, but may it not be contrary to the revealed word of God. May it not be contrary to the way the scripture has laid it out. May we be in accordance with God's will as we speak those blessings. Now, let's go back to Hebrews 11 and see the next historical event that is referred to, the next Bible story, if you would. Verse 21, in addition to Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau, then in verse 21 it says, by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. Many years after receiving his own blessing, Jacob is now dying, and Jacob calls all of his sons together, the sons of Joseph, and speaks blessing to them as well. And you can see that happen in Genesis 49. Why don't we go there? It's kind of lengthy and we won't read it, but I want you to be familiar with where it is there. In Genesis 49, that chapter begins by saying, then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourselves that I may tell you what shall befall you in the days to come. Gather together, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. And as you can see, as you're looking at that chapter, it's probably, depending on how they've typeset your Bible, you can tell that that's in verse. It looks almost like a poem or a song. And what Jacob does then is he goes through and speaks this blessing to each one of these sons of his that would become the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he says, Reuben, you are my firstborn. And he goes on and talks to Judah and Simeon and Levi and Gad and Zebulun and Issachar and Dan as he goes through and speaks this blessing to each one of them. He would tell each one of them who they really were, how their personality, how their disposition had affected their life, and what would befall them in the future, or what was being held for them in their lives. Now, it's very interesting that when we speak of blessing, we might think of a blessing as being, oh, you know, nothing but the best for you, kid. You're so smart and you're such a good boy and boy, God's got great things for you. That we would think of that as a blessing. But notice this, as you read through this, you'll see that in his blessing, Jacob was brutally honest to his kids, and he pointed out Reuben's lack of self-control. He told Simeon and Levi about their problems with anger. He confronted Judah's problems about alcohol. In this spoken blessing, he was brutally honest. Now, of course, he spoke blessing as to their future as well and about their strengths. Gad was going to have difficulty, he said, but he would survive. And Reuben, he would be powerful, and Judah would be victorious. So he told each one of his sons, son, you got to work on this anger problem, but you're going to overcome. Son, you need to deal with this habitual use of alcohol. Your eyes are dim with wine, but you're going to be victorious. You see, he was brutally honest, but he gave them a vision of their future. And so the second lesson we learn about blessing people, again, we're talking about sons, but this blessing applies to everyone that we would desire to bless, is that we have to be brutally honest and also point out strengths and the promising future. A blessing is no good if it's not honest. Speaking blessing to our children or to our husbands, our wives, our family members, our friends, our acquaintances, speaking blessing is no good unless we're 100% honest. And being honest very often has to do with lovingly pointing out faults and say, look, this is a stumbling block to you. This anger is a stumbling block to you. This tendency to lie is a stumbling block to you. It's going to trip you up if you don't deal with it. Hey, this alcohol, it's taking over your life, he would say to Judah. And so we need to be honest, and a blessing is not a blessing unless it's honest. Remember what the proverb says, Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. It says, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. You see, if we truly love someone, we won't hold back in sharing their faults with them. Again, having to be loving, it's not your ministry. You're not called to point out faults, at least not exclusively. But as you speak blessing to people, you need to be able to be honest and even wound that heart that it might be healed. Saying, son, you need to work on this anger problem. Friend, this alcohol is going to take over your life. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Better is that open rebuke to receive that. And then to speak to their strengths. Hey, but you have been given so many gifts and strengths in your character, in your personality, in your physical makeup, and God's got a good future for you as you lay down your life in these areas of sin and let God use these areas of your strength. That is the power of the spoken blessing. So we need to point out faults lovingly, but as those things are followed up with what is good and what the strengths are of the person you're blessing and the promising future that God has for them, that blessing is true and it's powerful. Now, back to Hebrews 11. We're going back and forth from Hebrews to Genesis. Hebrews 11, verse 22, it says, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Gave orders concerning his bones? What a strange thing. Well, hopefully you remember this account as well. Joseph, having risen basically to the vice presidency of Egypt, he was second only to Pharaoh. God had put him in a position of power that he might bring his father and his brothers into the land of Egypt during this time of famine. And there they would stay in Egypt for a period of time. But now Joseph saying, you're going to be here, but then there's going to be an exodus. There's going to be a leaving. How did he know this? How was he able to speak prophetically to his brothers and his sons regarding this exodus that would come forth? He knew what God would do because God had said what he would do. He knew what he would, what God would do because he knew what God had said. He knew what God had in store for them because God had said what he had in store for them. Back in the days of Abraham, the grandfather, now speaking of the great-grandfather, Father Abraham, God, when he had made promises to Abraham and to his descendants, he had said this way back in Genesis 15. He had said to Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. He was speaking of Egypt. He was speaking of them occupying the land of Egypt. This is a land that's not theirs. And they would become enslaved. And for 400 years, they would be oppressed. He says, but I will also judge the nation whom they will serve. And afterward, they will come out with many possessions. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they shall return here. Speaking of the land of Canaan, they will return here to the promised land, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. You see, there were people in the land of Canaan, the Amorites, and they were sinful people, but they hadn't exceeded mercy yet. They had not filled up the cup of judgment to the point where God was ready to say, in order to be just, in order to no longer show mercy to them, and I've got to judge them, he said their sin has to go a little further. The cup was only half full, that cup of judgment of the wine of the wrath of God. You see, God was being merciful to them, and he said it's not going to be for another 400 years before the Amorite, before the sin of the Amorite is so overflowing that I've got to judge them and drive them out. And so this land that I've promised to your descendants, Abraham, they won't have it for another 400 years. They're going to have to go to this other land, which Joseph figured out was the land of Egypt. And then after 400 years, they have a mass exodus. They'll leave with many possessions and they'll go into this promised land. Joseph knew this. Joseph knew the word of God. Joseph knew what God had said to Father Abraham. And so he was able to speak that prophetically to them. He was able to speak prophetically, saying in verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus to the sons of Israel. So in that spoken blessing, that was a spoken blessing, a word of prophecy, speaking of the future. Now, how can you, in blessing other people, how can you confidently speak of the future to people? How can you lay hands on someone and with confidence speak prophecy into their lives? You know, that's a difficult thing to know, isn't it? You know, I can lay hands on, during baby dedications, I can lay hands on little Jimmy and say, Lord, we prophesy that little Jimmy will one day be a doctor. But how do I know that? I don't know that. How can I speak prophetically regarding that when I don't know? You see, the only confidence I have to speak prophetically, to speak blessing to someone else prophetically, is to look at the Word of God. What is the revealed Word of God? Joseph was able to speak that prophetically because God had revealed it. And so, you know what? I can lay hands on you and speak blessing to you prophetically if it's in line with the Word of God. For example, I can speak blessing to you and I can say, Lord, I pray that you bless my sister. I pray that you bless my brother. For God, I know that as they delight themselves in you, as they give their whole heart to you in love, Lord, that you will direct their steps and you will cause everything that happens in their lives, God, to work together for good. And I can speak that blessing. How can I speak that blessing with confidence about your future prophetically? Because the Bible is clear about that. Because God's word speaks to that prophecy. Romans 8:28, the perfect example. I know that if you give your heart to the Lord and you love him with your whole heart, that he's going to cause everything that happens in your life to work together for good. And so I can speak that blessing to you. And that word has power. How do I know what's in store for your life? I don't. But I can speak blessing to you saying, if you love God, he'll direct your steps and everything that happens to you will work together for good. I can say, if you delight yourself in the Lord and you commit your way to him, then he'll give you the desires of your heart. I can speak that prophetically because the word says it very practically and very plainly. I can say, if you delight yourself in the Lord and you meditate on his word day and night, you commit your way to him, that whatever you put your hand to, I speak blessing to you. Whatever you put your hand to, it will prosper. You will prosper. I can say that because Psalm 1 so clearly speaks to that. So, third lesson regarding blessing is you can speak blessing prophetically if you're in line with the Word of God biblically. You can do that. You can do that with all confidence. Now, fourth and last. In Hebrews 11, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Now, understand, this is not talking about the faith of Moses. This is talking about the faith of Moses' parents. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents. It's not by faith, Moses. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents. For 3 months, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. You probably remember this. It's a very famous biblical story. You see, after Joseph had prophesied, you guys are going to be here for a period of time, and then there's going to be an exodus, and you're going to go out. Well, after Joseph died, another king arose that did not know Joseph. In other words, another Pharaoh came to power that wasn't familiar with the Jews, wasn't familiar with the story of why this guy who was the vice president brought in his whole family and they started multiplying and having all these kids. And one day this new Pharaoh realized, all these Jews, look at how many, there's more Jews in Egypt than there are Egyptians. And so he said to his people, behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Well, if you're trying to maintain control over your kingdom, that's bad news. You don't want more people in your kingdom that aren't from your kingdom. You don't want to let so many immigrants in that there's more people from some other country than there are of you. And so he decided to oppress and enslave them, as in fact God had prophesied to Abraham way back in Genesis 15. And so he enslaved them, he made them slave labor, and when he realized how many of them there were, because even though they were enslaved, they kept having children, he instituted a plan to keep them from having so many children. Well, they didn't have mandatory birth control back then, and so what they did was try to control it after the baby was born. And so the Pharaoh told the midwives, the Hebrew midwives, the women, you know, they didn't go to the hospital to have their babies. They would have their babies at home, as mankind has done for thousands of years until really only in the last few generations. And so the midwives would come in and help the women deliver their babies. Well, the Pharaoh gave command to the midwives saying that when you're helping the Hebrew women to give birth and you see them upon the birthing stool, if it's a son, you shall put them to death. If it's a son, you need to kill that baby. But if it's a daughter, she may live. And so they weren't afraid of the women because the women could be slaves, but they likely wouldn't raise up an army to defeat the Egyptians. The men, however, would grow up to be fighting men and would one day overthrow the Egyptian government. And so he told the midwives, kill all the male children. So the king of Egypt called them to do this, but the midwives, they feared God and they did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them. So they let the boys live. Well, the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? He heard that the birth rate, the survival rate for the babies was still the same. Why haven't these boys died? What is this thing that you have done? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, well, the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they're vigorous. Those Jewish women, the Hebrew women, you know, they're much stronger than the Egyptian women. And they give birth before we can get to them. You know, their labor, just like that, you know, by the time we get there, they've already had their baby. And so they refused to kill these sons. Well, Pharaoh wasn't going to be thwarted by some midwives. You know, he wasn't going to allow this midwife crisis to go on. Sorry. I've waited for years to share that. And so he turned to his people, the Egyptians, instead. Pharaoh commanded all the people. You can follow this through in your own studies in Exodus chapter 1. Basically, we're surmising or summarizing the whole chapter here. And Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Now this is the boy who would grow up to be called Moses. So this guy from the tribe of Levi marries this woman. They have a child. He's a son. They're not going to throw him in the river. They just won't. And they won't let any of the Egyptians throw him into the river. So they hide the fact, hiding the fact that she was pregnant, hiding the fact that she had had a boy, but she couldn't hide him any longer. You know, maybe he wasn't colicky for the first 3 months, but he started to arouse suspicion with the neighbors. You know, it's like, what's that? You're hearing, oh, it's our goat. You know, it's a colicky goat. You know, well, after 3 months, they couldn't hide him any longer, but she couldn't bear the thought of killing him, of throwing him into the Nile, of putting him into death. And so she got an idea. What if I put him in the Nile in accordance with the law? But I don't like drown him. So she got this wicker basket and she covered it with tar and pitch so that it wouldn't get waterlogged and sink. And she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. She obeyed the law. She put her son in the Nile in a basket that wouldn't sink. And put him in among the reeds and then told Miriam, his sister, to watch, to hang out there and wait to see what would happen to him. Would he be eaten by a crocodile? Would a hippopotamus smash the basket? Would maybe somebody find him and adopt him? Well, that's what happened. Now, how does this tie in with the blessing? Exactly this. Blessings are not always spoken. Blessings very often are actions. We can bless our children not only with words, but with actions. We can bless our brothers and sisters, our family members, our friends, our acquaintances. We can bless them with the spoken blessing or with the blessing of action. And this blessing, very often, the blessing very often means laying down our lives. Giving up of our lives. You see, if Moses' parents had been caught, if Miriam hiding in the reeds had been caught, they would have been put to death for breaking the law of Pharaoh. They took their own lives into their own hands, and for 3 months, hiding this child, if they'd been caught, they would have been put to death. Putting him in the wicker basket and hiding him among the reeds, they would have been caught and put to death. Very often that blessing isn't just, hey, let me give you a ride to work because your car's broken down. You know, that's a great blessing to someone. But greater love has no man than this, Jesus said. Then he laid down his life for his friends. Blessing means giving up your own life, giving up your own pleasures. You're sitting there watching the football game and somebody needs you to do something. Do you say, yeah, I'll get to it at halftime. I'll get to it. Oh, the score's so close. It's denying your own self and freely turning off Monday Night Football and saying, what do you need? How can I help you? Now, that's not going to kill you. Well, for some of you guys, it might. Get the VCR. But giving up your own life, that old expression, it's old now, it seems somewhat recent, but that old, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Jesus laid down his life. Jesus gave up everything to minister to people that needed his ministry. And you know, if you read through the Gospels, you see it. Jesus gave up sleep. He gave up eating. He gave up privacy. He gave up everything. He laid down his life long before he was tortured by the Romans, long before they nailed him to the cross, long before he died on that cross. He had laid down his life before. He had come to serve, and he had come to give his own life. And so very often he went without eating. He went without sleeping. He was weary. He was exhausted. Look at how many times in the scriptures it mentions these things. They were so busy ministering, they didn't even have time to eat. Oh, he was exhausted. When he got to the well outside the area of Samaria there, he just was so exhausted. As he lay down in the bottom of the boat to sleep because he hadn't slept in so long. And even then, when he would get up early in the morning to pray, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, while the crowds were still asleep, just so he would have time to pray, that he might give his full attention to them and minister to them. That's blessing. That's blessing. So let's get in the habit of blessing and understanding the power that is behind blessing. Oh, we won't understand necessarily the concept or how it works, but we will understand that the Bible teaches us to bless. As a matter of fact, God said in Zechariah 8:13, he said, so I will save you that you may become a blessing. Don't fear, let your hands be strong. Do you realize that God has saved you so that you can be a blessing? God's vision for your life, God's call on your life is to speak blessing to people. To be honest with them. Even a blessing of rebuke, a blessing of honesty regarding their strengths, a blessing speaking of their future and the future that God has for them, speaking prophetically to their lives, or very actively being a blessing, imparting that blessing by laying down your own life, your own interests, your sleep, your eating, your football game, and being a blessing to those people. Now, I know there's power in the blessing, and God commanded the priests, the Levite priests, to speak blessing to the people on a regular basis. And in Numbers chapter 6, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, the high priest and all the Levites, to speak blessing to people, to say this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May you receive that blessing from me today. My word has no power, but God has promised to follow it up with power. As I speak that blessing to you, the Lord will bless you and the Lord will keep you. The Lord will make his face to shine upon you. And as you speak blessing to your sons and daughters, to your wife or husband, to your family members, to your coworkers, the Lord will follow up those spoken and acted out blessings with power. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your kingdom is not something that we understand entirely, because it always leaves a bit of a mystery, more of us or more for us to discover. And Lord, by faith, we believe that that spoken blessing or that blessing that's acted out has power behind it because you've promised that it will. Lord, help us to boldly bless the people that we love and the people that we come in contact with. May we speak prophetically to their lives. May we offer honesty and love to them as we speak blessing to them. God, may we become a people that bless one another. And God, I do pray that you would bless those in this room, that you would keep them, that you would make your face to shine upon them. Lord, we pray that you would lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In all sincerity, God bless you.